All right, hello, good evening. We're back again. This is Gijs Minderhout calling from Magalia, California. The Monday Win-Free Show. I'm glad that you are here. This is, as usual, a simulcast to the conference call. Everything means another person joining in on the phone line. We cannot hear you, we cannot see you, but we are glad you're here. And tonight's topic is going to be a great one. Again, as we had many more. I welcome those that just got on the phone line here with us. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome on this June 13 Monday evening.
Okay, a lot of information.
Well, yes, we just got online with BBS and I had not set the date yet, so I implanted with you. Thank you.
I feel informed.
And somebody else joined in with you, Don. Thank you for being here. If you want to, please location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, my dear sister Marilyn. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Your name has been spelled correctly in tonight's announcement email.
Oh, all right. Thank you. I haven't seen it.
Okay. More people join in here on the phone. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry from New Jersey.
Hello, Terry from New Jersey. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Prudence in North Carolina.
Hello, Prudence. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Who else joined in? If you want to, please say your name and location. All right. And in the meantime, we are past the hour, 6:02. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Roger, we welcome you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Roger.
All right. The more people have joined in the last two, you feel free to say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Welcome to the call.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Last one, please say your name and location. Then I welcome you, Mr. Free.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound great. Thank you.
All right. Now, Terry, let's hear you. Terry?
Terry is here with us, yes.
Are you muted, Terry? I don't hear you. Unmute yourself for just 1 second, would you please?
Yes.
Now, I just want to check. Terry and I are in the same room. Are we having any echo?
I get echo. I'm just going to check out the other room.
On this end, it's good.
Terry, it sounds good from Isaac's end, okay?
Okay, I'm going to go in the other room.
I think we can both be in the same room. The other room. Just let me know when you're ready. I'll tell you what, we'll start recording. And I'll give an introduction here.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is June 13th, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Phoenix. And we're in a motel room. We had a meeting with Adele today. You know, Adele was Carrie's. It's hard to believe she's not still. She probably still is in some way. She was Terry Friedman's caretaker for a long time. But we announced yesterday. You know, yesterday, if you didn't listen to yesterday's call, something happened that was really unusual. And we were, you know, during the first hour of the call, we were all doing what we normally do the first hour, and then the second hour of the call, we do what we normally do. And, you know, we always bring the Elohim in a formal way on the second hour. But we've had the idea that the Elohim was lurking in the background, and they're energetically there. And one of the reasons we don't just say, here's the Elohim, and focus on that. And when we first started doing this, I was learning. I didn't know how to do it. I thought maybe that's the way to do it. But what I began to realize was, what is the desired outcome of doing this work? Why do we want to do it? What's the benefit? To give up your power to the Elohim and say, Elohim, help me, Elohim this, Elohim that? I didn't think so. Although we do that, people ask all the time, and, you know, they do help. But the real, at least from my perspective, the real goal of this work is not to have everyone defer to the Elohim, and not to create some new way of relating to God in the physical. It was to create a vehicle that would allow people to empower themselves to make a connection with the higher sources, but not disempowering themselves, which oftentimes, traditionally, there is an element of disempowerment in religion, for example, where you're supposed to do God's will, you're supposed to, and if it's meant to be, it will happen. And my own personal experience of life did not validate that. That if I was an expression of all that is, then I had to exert my will, and it had to be in accordance with the evolutionary path of the universe, or the all that is, or the Elohim, or whatever. But being in accordance meant that it had to contribute to people, but I was creating it. And as you, most of you know, I used to create that through my music and through my poems and through my writing. And I started to see that each of us is a creator. And each of us has far more potential than we ever access. And as we started doing these calls, I started to see that the rapport with the Elohim was co-creative. I mean, when I first started, I would say, well, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? Okay, uncle, you are who you are, and I think it's valuable that people hear about you. And they never told me what to do. They said, put something up on the internet at one point. And another time they said, talk to one person at a time. And other than that, you know, what we're doing is essentially out of my creativity, out of Terry's creativity, and no outside God force is saying, we want you to do this. And that's true for every single one of you. It's to be able to learn to access your own empowerment, your own ability to create. And it doesn't mean you have to be doing something, you know, some people think we're doing something big. I don't think it's big, but it's like, it might even be epic, but it's like, it is what it is. And I'm just in the middle of it. And, you know, see, it's very interesting. I'm in the middle of it, and it has a flow. And I ride along with the flow, and at the same time, I'm steering the flow to a certain extent. I don't do things out of the flow. I'm in the flow, and I make it stronger. Now, it's interesting. The Elohim has said the way they work with us is that it's like riding a bicycle. And they are like the chain that goes to the rear wheel. So if you pedal, they'll add more energy and momentum to your pedaling. Or if you're not riding a bicycle, you could say, if you have an intention, they will add more energy and momentum to your intention, which is what creates a miracle, okay? Well, it looked to us like a miracle or a synchronicity. And so the deal is they don't do that for everyone that has an intention. You have to have intentions that are honoring free will, that are for the highest good of all concerned, and, you know, with the desire to serve helps to create that amplification of your intention. So yesterday, you know, on our Sunday call, we started out with our normal, where I'm talking, and I'm talking about whatever I talk about, and I never know what I'm going to talk. I can't even remember what I was talking about. But at some point, the Elohim engaged himself. Terry said they want to say something, and I said, okay. And we didn't do our normal calling in of the light. We were just with them, and they were engaging in our conversation about what we were talking about. And I went along with it, and it was really cool because it was like we were having a panel. And suddenly we have a panel discussion with the Elohim on the panel. And they were giving us the respect of the panel, okay? And so I encourage you to listen to it because it was semi-breakthrough. And Terry, are you ready there? Unmute yourself. I want to check your sound, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now, hi, is that we okay?
Yes, perfect.
Okay,
good.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of echo. If we start getting echo, then I'll pay attention to unmuting myself after I discuss anything. This has been one of our more amazing conversations with the Elohim, and it goes under the banner of how the Elohim created the universe. And I think we started it 2 or 3 years ago, and I was getting the confidence. Believe me, I had to get confidence to be willing to talk to them publicly. I mean, first of all, Terry had to be very relaxed so that she didn't feel self-conscious. And people used to complain because, why are you talking so much? Why are you letting Terry talk more? Well, I was talking not because they were interpreting it like I had a big ego and I wanted attention. It's not really true. I was knowing that to channel publicly, we had to have a great state of relaxation and oneness amongst us all. And that's one of my gifts, to be able to create that. And it comes from my background as being an entertainer and being in front of audiences. And that once we had that ambience, it was easy to channel publicly because we were channeling into the energy of oneness, not into the energy of separation. And you know, it's gotten smoother and smoother and better as a result of you guys who have been so awesome in your ability to hold the space, hold the energy for what we're doing and hold your love and not make me feel threatened or like I have to argue with people or I have to prove something, me or Terry. And it creates a safe ambience. And the series of how the Elohim created the universe I think, was, you know, there were many ways that I convinced myself that this was real. And, you know, it had to do with the pictures of Terry and St. Catherine. It had to do with all kinds of manner in which they answer questions. It had to do with the consistency of their perspective. It had to do with the way people were being impacted, because I was afraid people were going to put me on a pedestal or Terry on a pedestal. And sometimes they try, and Terry, you're making a little background noise there. But I don't really want to be on a pedestal. And I mean, I don't have to do this. I don't have to. I don't really need the attention. I probably have done things in other lifetimes, and I've gotten lots of attention. And I don't do this for attention. I do it for service. I do it because I see so many people having great, great changes in their life as a result of our doing these calls. And I'm really honored to be the vehicle that can kind of catalyze those changes for people. And I thank the universe for gifting me with the talents and the opportunity to do this. Because like many of you, in this realm, I kept saying to myself, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. And at one point, you know, and this still happens, I was getting dream messages, which I believe were from the Ra group. I mean, that's what they said, but there were little bits of verbal wisdom that I would wake up in the middle of the night and write down. And sometimes they were funny. Sometimes they were kind of really deep and sent me into a contemplative state. And one of them was, you finally found a job you won't get tired of. Of course, if you heard me talk about my past, you know all the different things that I've done this life. Everything from, you know, selling things on the street, to working in a TV studio, to writing songs and poems, to God knows what else, you know. But I got really quite masterful at all of them, and I got bored with the idea of doing it for the rest of my life, even playing music. And this is probably, now I'm stuck. I probably have to do this for the rest of my life because it's not boring. It's exciting, and it keeps me on my toes, and it constantly requires reinventing myself to fit the growth of everybody around it, if that makes sense. So in this How the Elohim Created the Universe, just it started out with there was one awareness, the one infinite creator, that's what they call that first awareness, that could duplicate itself and duplicate itself. And before you know it, there were lots of awarenesses, but there were no bodies, there was no persistence, there was no physicality, and time was still a baby, okay? There was time, there has to be some kind of time. And, you know, with the creation of the universe, there has to be the actual creation of time as well as space and timelines. And so we are at the bottom of the creation in 3D on planet Earth. This is one of the most densest places. Maybe there's other places equally as dense in the universe. And what that means is that it's very, very hard to experience oneness in this realm directly. And it's easy to feel separated, alienated, lonely, corny, you know, all the things of being divisiveness. And even when you know what I'm saying, it's like not easy to shift it. It's one of the reasons we're doing these calls, to help be a beacon for people to shift those things in themselves. And it's like making a connection with these high sources is making a bridge from the timelines here to their timeline. So when you get on these calls, you start to break out of your alienation. And you start to say, you realize, you know, it's not an ego trip to come from a higher dimension. It's not an ego trip. It's a way of understanding yourself. Coming from a higher dimension doesn't mean that things are easier in this realm. They could easily mean that things are actually more difficult. People that are in this realm and that can find ways of entertaining themselves in this realm and sometimes have far more seemingly fun than someone that came in from a higher realm to take a body. Because when that happens, some level, you have to be kind of creative. First of all, you have to figure that out. You have to realize, oh my God, I'm really not crazy. Because otherwise, it's very easy to think you're crazy. And then you have to figure out how to integrate, connect with your higher vibrations. And then you have to figure out how to manifest, how to do something that incorporates the higher vibrations. And that's really a big deal. It's like just coming into these calls with something. You know, we have something called team shift. We put people together, and Edna helps keep this going, because we put people together with high intent that are coming into our calls, and they have a chance to connect on an ongoing basis, like every day for 10 or 15 minutes and call in the light. And it works for people. It helps to shift them. It helps them to talk to other people that don't fit in, and they fit in with each other. And they have empathy with each other. And so if anyone's interested in team shifts, just reply to the email, and I'll make sure Edna gets it. That's up to you. These are ways for you to create yourself and at least, you know, take advantage, try some of the things we offer. You know, we're not charging for it. We're nutcases. We're not charging. We're offering all this life-changing stuff. And luckily, we're selling enough pendants and other stuff to support the other work. And thank you all for your purchases, even though I know we're giving you incredible products that can change your vibrational level. And if you're one of those people who's a wanderer, who's come in from another dimension, it's like, you need all the help you can get. I do too. It's like it's a real act of creativity to find ways to feel totally present in 3D. Terry, do you want to add something to that?
Well, I know that the Elohim are really, really excited to be able to connect with the people here in this realm. It's like a whole missing part of the family when like the Earth people don't know that they're a part of the family of all that is. And so it is a joy for the Elohim and the Ra group to be able to connect, and just the fact of connection brings a lot of joy and healing.
Thank you. Well, let me officially call in the light. and then we're going to talk to them, okay? Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. See ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are joyful to be able to connect. And we hear an echo here.
Yeah.
As we move into the Earth sphere, we see the grief that is surrounding Orlando and spreading out over to a lesser extent to the world, but to the people of Florida and to the people of the United States. And it is a great loss. So we send healing energy and love light to everyone that has been bereaved. Do you have questions?
Yeah, well, since we're talking about how the Elohim created the universe, you know, there was early on, I'm sure, points of very positive optimism and creativity from the Elohim's point of view, starting with, if you listen to our past calls, the creation of the amoeba and how that was the first creation with DNA and some kind of sexuality. And, you know, of course, it goes on for billions of years. And from the Elohim's point of view, it probably seems like it's all happening at once. When you go from the creation of the amoeba, or even before that, until now, is that like a fairly short period from your view, from your experience of time?
No, it seems like it is not all happening at once. Like, it is individual events that create a history, a track, upon which other events build the available awarenesses and the group that is formed then goes in many different ways. And we were very delighted to see the interactions of life that was created at the start.
As you have been observing all of this flow from back then till now, of course, you have the experience of seeing. You know, there's a couple points of view on this, and maybe you could just comment on it as an overview. Obviously, there's a lot of suffering in this world. Obviously, there is this predisposition for small groups of people that have huge power and money to try to control everyone else. And they inflict horrible pain and suffering in various ways. But at the same time, there was an interesting thing in the raw material that at some point the higher realms made the decision that if everything was just easygoing in this realm, that no one evolved. And people just stayed in an enjoyable place but didn't grow. And the purpose of life and the universe is not to create static situations of just everyone is having a party. It seems like the intent is to create a momentum for the individual parts of the universe to come closer to what some people call Godhead, or the self-realization or connection with all that is. And so the question is, from your perspective, how do you view the pain and suffering inflicted in this realm by service to self entities with the desire to put negative in this realm to propel evolution of the species?
Thank you. The infliction of pain from the negative is a step down from the pain that an individual can run into in the third density worlds. The third density worlds, in the way that they have developed, are and can be painful as the individual bodies disintegrate. There is the development of bodies that have had the painful memories that go from lifetime to lifetime, the painful body problems that develop when the body is not working well. There is plenty of stimulus without the negative inflicting pain to grow, in that one learns eventually that they are not the body. They learn that they are the spirit. They learn that love is a basis for life. They learn the importance of love, and as they see the loss that they experience when a loved one dies, they see that they their own self has an importance in love. So the simple life-death cycle is a teacher. And the teacher teaches one that one is really beyond the life-death cycle. And they learn eventually who they really are, as when they come in to the Earth cycle, they often forget and they think they are part and parcel of the physical world, and they are not. So this is one of the biggest lessons to learn, and it would be learned without the impetus of the negative speeding up the process.
Let me ask a question here. When the Elohim first started all of this, could they project the way that it was going to unfold, or were you learning it as it unfolded? In other words, you're observing it, and you said, oh, it works this way, it works that way, and now we've got the negative, and da 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 da. And were you constantly reevaluating it, and was it a surprise to you to see how it worked?
Everything is in the now. And as things were developed, we did not take a big look at the time trail, the track of time. We saw things happening in the present. So this was unfolding for us at the same time that it was unfolding in reality in the third dimension. The creation of other life forms played a part in that those life forms could then creatively begin to have impact in what happened to them. It was an unfoldment for us to see what these life forms would create.
And so each of us, everyone listening now, is at one end of that creation cycle, having most of us come through many, many lifetimes. And you have been observing all of this. And the thing about it is, you know, people think of you as God, but you have your own criteria. I say criteria, but maybe even criteria is not the right word, that you may be part of the original creation for things, but once it got in motion and it was in motion, you had your own limitations about how you could interface with the creation that was in moment, in motion. Is that accurate?
When we saw and observed the creation, we wanted to see how the creatures that were created dealt with the creation of their own future. We wanted to see what they were made of. We wanted to see what the deficiencies and weaknesses were, what the strengths were, what life was made of. Would it be a representation of what we felt God was? And how would these life forms stand up to the creation of their own life? What was life made of? What was its creative potentials? What was its creative limitations? How much love did it express? And if it was tempted by material work or wealth, what then would it take, or would it ever get back to the love of the original creator?
So as in the case of what we're doing, it seems to me we're doing something rather unusual in this realm. And can you share why Terry and I and the people on this line have this ability to do such an unusual and unique manifestation.
Thank you. You both have a track in the past of being directly responsible for changes within the third density, for bringing through information from higher sources, and that is your connection, not just that you were chosen, you chose yourself. Can't hear you.
At different times in the past, we could have been derivative of the higher soul groups and were space people seeding planets or something like that. Maybe even creating planets if we go back far enough. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. And beyond that, earlier you came into the physical universe to determine what it was all about and mm-hmm. how you could apply your own creative sparks to helping the whole cycle to evolve and go better.
Mm-hmm. And at various times, we probably got screwed up by the negative in this realm, yes?
Yes, but that is a little blip on your track. And the overall progress is magnificent.
Oh, well, thank you. I can see what we're doing. And many, even people that are listening to us, and this all resonates, they could have had somewhat of a similar track or parallel track coming along trying to put it like in language, what you just said is that the realm was evolving. There were beings in the realm. There were negatives starting to evolve in the realm. And many beings from higher realms chose to come in here to participate in this evolutionary process in a way that when you're in a body, you can participate in a much more intimate, closer connection than when you're from the higher realms. And so many beings came here to participate in this, maybe you could say it was a giant, universal experiment in evolution of consciousness. Is that kind of correct?
Thank you. We took a look at the people who are on the call or who will listen to the call in the future, and we see them. We do not look at their bodies. We look at the heroic nature of their light body, their interface with the earth realm. And we see underneath them shining like stars in their heroic ventures. They may not realize, you that are on the line, may not realize your past or the heroicness of your nature and soul journey into a world that can be dark and isolated. You have the spark still of your ventureness, your wandering nature that seeks to make things right, to fight for the good of the whole, the greatest good, to connect with home and know that you love and are loved beyond anything that you may feel was a sin or detrimental that you may have done, you can set that aside. That is merely a blip, and do not carry it forward. Let it go.
Thank you. You know, people sometimes think they have to do something of great magnificence and heroic stuff or, you know, public nature. But in fact, somebody that came in from a higher realm, if they can just manage to be strong enough to hold the higher realm frequency in this realm, doing ordinary things can be, I think that can be a great accomplishment. Am I correct, Tara?
Yes, they bring forth for manifestation in this earth realm that you're in, the light that shines, that leads, that guides, and makes a higher path and helps the ones that are following to find their way.
You know, in the manifestation of Jesus, the life of Jesus, I believe Jesus was someone who became consciously aware that his role was to lift the vibration of people and this realm. And it's interesting because we've had many conversations with Terry Friedman about this. And when Jesus knew he was going to be leaving, he told his disciples, don't start a religion around this. Go two by two and minister to the people. So and, when I study Jesus, I get many, 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 many indications. And he understood the bottom line thing of lifting the vibration of people, of the planet, and being a catalyst to inspire that in other people. And it was, you know, he was doing it. He was riding his bicycle. And I would assume when he was doing that, he was getting assistance from the Elohim and the Ra groups. But can you comment on that?
Thank you. Christ consciousness was expressed through Terry in his frequencies and his vibration. He is connected to the Christ consciousness and was bringing it in to the third dimension as he could see fit, both in healing techniques as a doctor and in spiritual vibrations to heal individuals that he came in contact with or came in contact with his books.
Thank you. 6:48. And I'll tell you what. I don't know if I open things up so you can ask a question, you know, you who are listening, could you please, if you don't ask a question that's on the topics of what we were talking about, I'm going to reject it. You can save that for a Wednesday, okay? Don't take the opportunity just to, you know, do anything other than ask about what we've been talking about it. And let me see if there's too much noise on the line to allow this, okay?
All callers are unmuted.
Does anybody have a question?
Yeah, Wayne, I have a question.
Now, who is that?
This is Raiden.
Go ahead, Raiden.
Hey, I have a question to the Raw on about if there's going to be an extension of the timeline or if the original 2017 is close to the wrap-up.
It is undecided at this time. We have in the past given 2017 as a potential. It can be extended. It depends upon the consciousness of the people of Earth.
Thank you. If we should suddenly get out there and reach large masses of people, that could make a difference, yes?
That is correct.
Thank you. Anyone else have a question? Don't be intimidated, guys.
This is Joni.
Go ahead.
Can you name the ways that we can maintain the high vibrations to help the world?
It is something that can be done individually in each little thing that you do to put care and love into each little transaction, whether it is with a manifest thing, washing the dishes, or whether it is with speaking with a neighbor, bringing in the care that you see is needed. And it does not mean going past your desires of what to give. You keep it within what it is that you have personally the wish to give, so that you yourself coordinate with your surroundings and you yourself get for yourself the things that you need from others in give and take, so that you are not left out of that equation.
Thank you.
I find that when you're doing what seems to be like mundane tasks, it's like if you stop yourself and, you know, you're paying a bill, and you say, okay, bless this envelope. You're sending an email to someone, and take a moment and send divine energy in what you're doing. You're going to make a phone call. A moment before you make the phone call, go into a little self-meditation and ask for blessings to be with you on that call, particularly if it's somebody with a lot of conflicts. Anyone else have a question?
I have a question. Yesterday, you guys mentioned about in order to connect with the Elohim, you need to remove energy blockages from yourself. And I was wondering, is it more important to work to try to remove blockages, or is it more important to try to pursue just like a positive spiritual attitude, or are they interrelated?
Sometimes one does not know that they subconsciously are holding rigid within their own body matrix energies. One can begin to sense it when they feel that there is something blocking a flow. Maybe the body is out of alignment and can't seem to keep in alignment. Areas of the body that tend to break down is an indication that maybe there is something earlier. And they can ask the Elohim and the Ra group for the release of energy. They can apply massage. They can apply acupuncture, different things to begin to get the energy flowing. They can take the proper nutrition to make sure they have enough lubrication in their system, that the energies can be transferred from one point of the body to the other. You have an innately an innate feeling when something is out of kilter or out of alignment, so pay attention to that.
If somebody were to be able to clear their most of their blockages, would they start to naturally be more able to communicate with, like, the higher sources?
It is an independent thing. It is an individual thing. If one is able to set aside any of the body blockages or any blockages or any stuck thoughts in the mind, would just say, I'm going to set them aside for the moment, and then they would be able to communicate with the higher sources if they can get any of the localized body blocks out of the way. Then they should be able to have energy and attention available for connection outside of their box or with the higher realms.
Thank you.
You know, I heard some, I want to recapitulate what I just heard them say.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
You know, all of you are on this evolutionary path. They're on this